Thank you, Susan. And again, good morning. Glad you are here. It's good to be back after a little time away and to see all your smiling faces this morning. I also come today on this first Sunday of May knowing that some of you have certain expectations of me, but I bet someone that I was not going to do it. Despite the pew pressure, how many times, as you Grace fans know, I go to great lengths not to horse around or spin off any Derby dialogue during a sermon on Derby weekend. Heaven knows that might stir up the urge to trot out a paddock full of pony puns, which could have its ups and downs. Some of you would be naysayers and nag me about it later, I'm sure. So it would behoove me not to make horses the main emphasis, even on Derby weekends. So I get it. This could end up being a tale of woe, a real stretch, if you will. You might end up scratching your heads or tapping your shoes a bit. You might even run from your roses this morning and leave the place. I don't want that to happen. Some of you don't even know me, so you already think I'm nuts. And I know this will really tax you to listen to some of this. You might even think I'm a bit unstable, and you may never show up again. So I really do not want to saddle you with a punishing message. The odds are that you could not take it for long. You'd have to rein me in so I don't gallop off on the wrong track or head out of the wrong gate or say something improbable. It'd be a nightmare to gamble and fill you up with an overdosage of foolish figures of speech and cutting humor. So, I promise to buck the urge to whip out any pony puns or jockey any Derby words into the message on the spur of the moment today. You might put on blinders and miss the twinspiring words that are actually in the message. So you might get cult feelings, mount up some resistance, rail against me, tell your mutter, or slap me on the backside. You might start a turf war, turn away, or leave the church ill, or head to a country house. I don't know. By my standards, that's exacta what I do not want. Even with maximum security, this would be a no-win-win-win situation. And the sermon title and text don't talk about horses at all. So it'd be a long shot to try to make any connections. I won't do it. Deal? All right. Good deal. Glad that's behind us. Anyway, in today's story that Dr. Lowe just read for us, Peter does make an important connection. Where is he? Well, he's back at work. He's back at work with some of his buddies, his friends, and from what we can tell, it's Monday. This is from the last chapter in the Gospel of John. It's called the epilogue. It seems to be out of order a little bit, but there's some important messages in this last chapter. As you recall from the story, Easter Sunday was marvelous, wonderful, inspiring, uplifting, but no matter how good Sunday was, Monday's coming, right? Monday's coming. We long for those mountaintop moments when the music is marvelous and the words are inspiring and they hit home and they make a difference and the Spirit is moving among us and we can feel it. But Monday's coming. Monday's coming and we're back home and we're back to school and we're back to work and we're back to the ruts and the routines and we're back to the bad news, which bombards us day after day after day. Since we were last together on Easter, there have been horrific bombings in Sri Lanka and campus and synagogue killings. Places of security and safety and sanctuary are no longer off limits, and we ache and we cry out, how long? How long, oh God? When will the chaos and the craziness and the cruelty ever end. And so Peter is back to his ordinary pre-Jesus, pre-resurrection life. And how does he respond to the empty tomb and the reports of the resurrection, the appearances of Jesus? He says to his friends, "I'm going fishing. You want to come along?" And they do. But it's a slow morning, not much is happening, until a stranger notices that they are floundering out there, and instead of being left with nothing at all, the stranger says, try something different, try this direction. And they hit it big. They haul in this great group of groupers. Someone even counted 153 fish. It's amazing. And then, of all things, they have breakfast together. I don't know about you, but breakfast is not a big deal for me. You know, in the morning, I stumble into the kitchen, I grab a box of mini wheats, I fill the bowl, I get a glass of milk. That's it. That's all I want. Period. And if there's no milk, I am in a bad mood for the rest of the day. I want the same old, same old, same old every time I wake up. I don't want new for breakfast. But that's exactly what Peter and the disciples get here. You know, night is passing and a new day is breaking. Darkness is diminishing. A new light is shining. The old has died. A new world is taking shape. And Jesus bakes up some bread and holy mackerel. And that's how the disciples react when they finally get breakfast served to them. Holy mackerel. Their eyes are opened and they see Jesus once again in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, in the breaking of the bread, they are changed. This is a recall notice for the disciples. And I think God continues to send us recall notices as well, because we so quickly forget. We so quickly forget this good news that has changed our lives and the world forever. You know, after Holy Week, we had the joyous celebration on Easter weekend, and the theme has been rise. And you know, I believe God keeps making that happen, giving us opportunities to rise. You know, new insights, graceful coincidences, aha moments, close encounters of the spiritual kind. We rise again, and we relish and revel in those moments. In this passage today, this poignant conversation between Jesus and Peter and the disciples, we hear of a recall notice. We hear of the gift of forgiveness. We hear of a reminder again, feed my sheep, love the ones I love, rise up and follow. And they do, or we wouldn't be here. So the question for us, I think, from this text is, you know, what about us? What will happen to us on these Mondays after Easter? As hard and humbling as it is for us to admit, Jesus may just serve up a mess of holy mackerel for us as well. We ministers try to prepare our best stuff for you for worship. Our musicians do the same. We try to amaze and astound you in our small groups, in our studies, in our classes. But there's bigger, you know, bigger things going on here. The risen Christ. The risen Christ is alive and well and free and has the best roaming plan on the planet, despite what AT and Sprint and Verizon say. God did not intend that the Spirit would be boxed in a building and operate for only 1 hour during the week. And so pay attention later on this week. You might catch the whiff of the aroma of baking bread. If you listen closely, you might hear the sound of fish sizzling while you're sitting at your desk or doing chores or reading a book or mowing the lawn. And that's the way God wants it, I think. God doesn't want us sitting in a sanctuary all week long, thank God. God doesn't want us studying Scripture 24/7, although it sounds good. God doesn't expect us to hold hands and sing Kumbaya around the campfire all summer long. I think sometimes some of us try to compartmentalize our lives and keep this, you know, the sacred here and the secular here and don't let them cross. But if we're to live with integrity as people of faith, then Jesus is the Lord of all of our lives, all of the time. Have you seen the new movie Avengers Endgame? Anybody out there gotten into the theater? It's been sold out for the most part. If you have had a chance to see it, you have contributed to helping that endeavor make more than $1.5 billion at the global box office already. Pretty amazing. But Brie Larson, who plays Captain Marvel as Marvel Studios' first female lead superhero, is getting positive reviews. And folks are finding out that she is a warrior on and off the screen. She is included in the latest Time magazine. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, but you'll see some familiar faces on multiple covers. But the title is The 100 Most Influential People. And Brie is included. There's an article about Brie inside. And I confess that it was inspiring to read an entire publication devoted to telling stories that offered good news about good people doing good things, because sometimes we forget. A lot of folks I'd heard of, a lot of them I've never heard of, and doing marvelous things in places that you never expect. So I encourage you to check it out. But Brie is mentioned there, and she is fiercely fighting for gender equality and inclusivity and an end to sexual harassment in workplaces. And it comes naturally as an extension of who she is. It's part of who she is. When she sits at the table, she wants all to have access to it. She's investigating how to be a better ally and working with people, and she is poised now especially to make real systemic changes, be a part of that process in the world. No, I think sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that our work for God has to be big and global and huge and dramatic and headline worthy, but it doesn't have to be all that complicated. You know, so let's go on about our business this week. God knows where to find us. And when we do get found, when we have those mountaintop moments, when we have those aha experiences, God continues to invite us to pay attention, to rise up and follow and serve and love. One of our church members describes these spiritual encounters as divine appointments, which I think is a beautiful way to describe it. Moments of revelation and calls to discipleship go together. And so when we rise up, we become catalysts for change in this world, and our love for God becomes much, much more than words. In this story, when Jesus shows up on the beach, you know, he doesn't say to his buddies, hey, look at me. You know, God raised me from the dead. Isn't that cool? Now, Jesus says, you know, here I am. I'm risen from the dead, and I've got some work for you, for us to do. Your lives, your future, and God's dreams are at stake here. This is important. So don't dwell on your failures. You know, you've been forgiven. Move on. Move on. And get busy. Friends, we've got this recall notice. It's good news. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. And Jesus invites all of us on this day to rise up, to remember, and to follow.